Okay, we begin here on the top of Nun Amud Aleph. Just to remind ourselves, in the Mishnah, we had a case where an individual was traveling along the way, and the sun was setting. He wanted to get to his house, but there was more than 2,000 amot from where he is presently until his house. So what he does is he says that I'm going to make my Shvita in a location that's further along under a tree that he designates further along. The Mishnah says, Lo Amar Klum, he didn't say anything. Rav says about Lo Amar Klum means that he didn't say anything at all, and he lost everything. He forfeited his Shvita in the place that he is currently because he didn't want to be Shovet there, and he is unable to create the Shvita under the tree that he designated further along, and we'll see in today's daf why that is, that Rav believes you do not successfully create a Shvita. And then Shmuel says that he is successful at creating a Shvita, just uncertain about the Shvita. Rashi brought two lishonot. The one that he rejected was that we assume that he has Shvita on both. I mean, he has a Shvita where he is currently, and he has a Shvita by the tree, and we're uncertain as to which one took place, or maybe even both took effect at the same time. Therefore, he's trapped between those two areas because either one of them could be the Eruv, and therefore he can only go between them. That's one Lashon. Rashi rejects that here. And later on at the end of today's sugya, he also brings another proof as to why he thinks that's incorrect. But rather, he thinks that Shmuel believes that the tree is wide. And we don't know where along the base of the tree that this individual created the Shvita, or under the branches of the tree, or where he created Shvita. And therefore, he's limited in his ability to move from one end of the tree to the other end of the tree. He gets 2,000 amot from the tree, but we don't know where on the tree to start that. And therefore, if he's going in one direction, we start a Shvita at the furthest point away from that direction, and he gets 2,000 amot from the furthest point of the tree to that direction, and vice versa. If he wants to go in the opposite direction, then he only gets 2,000 amot from furthest place away from his destination to there from the tree. Now, the assumption is that, and we'll see this in today's sugya, according to Shmuel, the tree has to be totally within 2,000 amot of where he is now. So that way, no matter where he created his Shvita under the tree, he is successful at creating that Shvita, and he can get there from where he is currently. If he can't get there from where he is currently, then we have a problem. So that means that the entire tree has to be subsumed in 2,000 amot for where he is currently. So now the Gemara asks, Amar Rabba, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning behind Rav's position here that the person is stuck in place? Meshum delo misayim atrei, because he never designated where he wanted his Shvita to be. And he forfeited where he was because he decided he wanted to be under the tree, but under the tree he also did not designate the particular location where he wanted to have his Shvita. And according to Rav, there is a requirement that you designate the exact four amot where you want to have your Shvita. And when you go under a tree has a span that's going to be greater than four amot, and therefore we have no idea where you wanted your Shvita, and it doesn't work. Ve'ika d'amrei, and some say, I'm a rabba, my time of the rab. What's the reason my rab? Mishum t'kasavar. Kol she'en b'zeh achazeh, afil b'vacht achat, eino. Anything that can't be done sequentially also can't be done simultaneously. And the way that Rashi explains this, the Ritva also says something similar, is that if the individual wanted to create a Shvita under the northern side of the tree, the four amot there, then he can't create a Shvita on the southern side of the tree. And vice versa, if he created the Shvita on the southern side of the tree of the four amot, then he can't create a Shvita four amot on the northern side. You have to pick which four amot you want. So now when you come and do this simultaneously and say the entire tree is my Shvita, you are unsuccessful at creating that. Since you couldn't do that sequentially, you also can't do that simultaneously. Now obviously Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and he has to disagree on one of these two points. Either he has to believe, unlike Rav's position over here, that whatever you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously. He disagrees fundamentally with that and believes that you can do that. Even if you can't do it sequentially, you can do it simultaneously. Tosafot in the previous Amud rejects that and says that Shmuel fundamentally does think that Rabbah is correct. He just thinks it's not applicable over here. That's for a number of possibilities. Either because by Eruv we're Mekil, that anywhere else in Shas we would hold the Rabbah's position, but by Eruv we're Mekil, and therefore we don't worry about it in this situation, but in other places we would apply it. Or we suggest over here that when you say that I want my Shvita to be under the tree, it's as if you said I want four out of the eight amot to be my designated place under the tree, even though you didn't articulate that, that's what you meant. And we'll see in a second that then overcomes this deficit that we have over here with regards to Rabbah's position. If that's the case, again, Shmuel can hold like Rabbah, because he believes over here that we are anansade, that that's what your intent was. And obviously, according to the first Lashon that Rav says, that the problem here is that you didn't delineate the place. In particular, according to Shmuel, you don't need to delineate that particular location in order for it to be a good Shvita for you. So, my binayu, what's the difference between the two reasons that Rabbah gives for Rav's position? He says, I want four out of the eight amot to be my Shvita. According to the one who says that it's because he doesn't designate a particular place, you still don't have a specific location designated. All he said was four out of the eight amot are going to work. We still don't know which four amot are going to be it, and therefore you still have a problem, and it's not going to work. On the other hand, according to Rabba's position that anything that's not sequential can't happen simultaneously, this is like saying, I want four amot, dahach arba amot kamar. Because here he says, I don't want all eight to successfully become the shvita. I want four out of the eight. And that you can do sequentially, and therefore you should be able to do it bevat achat. And that's what we suggested before, that possibly that's what Shmuel is thinking over here, is that even when you don't articulate that, it's as if you articulated it, and that's why he disagrees with Rav. And again, the burden of proof is on Rav. Shmuel's position makes sense, which is Shmuel says, we don't know where under the tree you set up your position, and therefore we're going to be machmir on you to say that you only get the maximum amount from the furthest distance of the tree opposite the direction that you want to go in. And therefore, you'll be limited, or you will eliminate from your 2,000 amot in each direction the actual width of the tree, because that width will reduce your ability to go 2,000 amot in the opposite direction, in the northern direction or the southern direction, because we're going to assume that your four amot were at either end of the tree, opposite of the direction that you'd like to go in. So that we can understand. The question is, why did Rav not believe that? And we gave two answers to that, either because he believes you need to designate in particular the location, or because he believes whatever you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously. And Shmuel, again, could argue on either of those two points fundamentally, or he could agree fundamentally with Rav and still disagree with the position here of Rav and say that it's not applicable here because Eruv is the Kula, or because it's as if you said, like we saw in the Nafkamina, that four out of the eight amot will be my shvita in this case, even though you didn't particularly articulate that. Now, Gufa, the Gemara wants to test this concept of Amar Rabba called the Bar Sheinu Bezeze Acharzeh Afilu Bevat Achat Eino. Anything that doesn't work sequentially also doesn't work simultaneously. And the Gemara is going to bring questions on that. Tosafot already raises the fact that there are many places in Shas where we do have it work when you have, for instance, somebody says that this is Tumrat Olah Vishlamim. The animal is going to be in exchange for both a Korban Olah and a Korban Shlamim. And there we say that even though you can't do that sequentially, if you said this was a Tumrat Olah, afterwards you couldn't say Tumrat Shlamim, or vice versa. Nevertheless, when it happens simultaneously, we allow it to take place. That is because Efshar Litkayim Shnehem. In a place where it's possible to have both of your statements be true, which is that you made it into a Olah and Shlamim, then you can monetize the animal and use half the proceeds for Shlamim and half the proceeds for an Olah. So since in that case it's possible to carry out that which you articulated, we're going to say that it happened simultaneously, even though it couldn't happen sequentially. But over here, it's impossible for you to have all eight of those Amot be your Shvita. It's either the four on one side or the four on the other side. It can't be both fours here, and since you can't be Mekayim both of them, then if it doesn't work sequentially, it's also not going to work simultaneously. And now the Gemara says, well, we have other places where it seems that when you can't do it sequentially, you still are successful at doing it simultaneously. Eit ve'a bai the Rabba. So bai asks this Rebbe Rabba, v'hamar be masrot perutav mitukanim, masrotav mikukalim. Someone who gives too much maiser rishon ruins his masrot, even though whatever he left behind is chulin. Maser is different than truma because truma has no exact measure min haTorah. And therefore you can make more truma, less truma, no matter how much truma you make, you're successful at whatever you made into truma being truma. Whatever you left behind now is not tevel for truma anymore. Masrot are not like that because masrot are exactly 1/10 of the amount that you need to take off. So a person takes off 10%, and whatever he took off is classified as maser, and the 90% that he left behind is now chulin, or is no longer tevel for that maser rishon. On the other hand, if he separates out 20% of that which he has in front of him, he says that's going to be maser rishon, now he has a problem, because the Torah maximizes or caps out your ability, and is a minimum as well, of maser rishon that you can give, which is 10%, and you gave 20%. So now clearly whatever you left behind is chulin because you removed enough maaser rishon. You removed more than you needed from it. The problem is the maaser rishon that you have now, 50% of it is actually maaser, because that's the 10% you were supposed to take off. The other 50% remains tevel because you never were mafrish maaser rishon from it, and so now you have maaser rishon and tevel mixed together. And on the other side, you have the 80% you left behind, which is chulin. So now, masrot perutav dukanim, umasrot mikukalim. Amai. Why should that be the case? Lema kol she'enu b'zecharzeh, afilu b'vat achat eino. Why can't we say, just like you can't do something sequentially, you also can't do it simultaneously? So for instance, if you took off 10% of your produce was Maaser Rishon, that 10% would be Maaser Rishon, and the remainder would be Chulin. If you then went to separate an additional 10% from that Chulin and said it's Maaser Rishon, it wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't be Maaser Rishon. It wouldn't be Tevel. It remained Chulin. So on a sequential basis, you can't separate 20% of your produce to be Maaser Rishon. So then why is it possible for you in a single separation to create 20% that is mixed of Maaser Rishon and Tevel? How come you can create this mixture if you can't do it sequentially? If it doesn't work when you do it sequentially, it shouldn't work bevat achat, and therefore you should either not be successful at creating Maaser Rishon at here at all, and it should all remain Tevel, or it should be that whatever you separate it out, 10% of it is Maaser Rishon, and the other 10% is Chulin, and that's it. Why is it that now we have mixed in there Maaser Rishon and Tevel, which is something you can't do sequentially? So the Gemara says, Shiny Maaser. Maaser is different to Ite Lechatzayin, because you have the ability to create it in piecemeal. Diamar, because if one says, Tikdosh Palga Palga Dechitoto Kacho, the person says that half of every kernel of wheat should be Kadosh, he would be successful at doing that. So for instance, in a situation where a person has 10 kor, and he wants to take off 10%, he takes one kor from that 10. Or if he has 10 sa'ah, he has to take off one sa'ah from those 10. What happens if the individual says, you know what, I'm not going to take a single kor, I'm not going to take a single sa'ah to make my 10%, but rather I'm going to take off two kor or two sa'ah. And in those kor or those two sa'ah or two kor, half of it, of each kernel or half of each item, is going to be maaser. That works. So since in that situation, if you separated, first of all, a sa'ah and said half of it, 50% of it is Maaser Rishon, and then you took another sa'ah and said 50% of it is Maaser Rishon, you would be successful at creating your Maaser Rishon, because you can split your Maaser Rishon between these different sa'im. And same thing with the kor. If you have 10 kor, you can, instead of taking off one kor as a 10%, if you take off two kor and say 50% of it will be Maaser Rishon. So you see from that that you have the ability to create Maaser Rishon in a piecemeal manner. And you can have it be that even though you took two sa'ah, you took off 20%, or two kor and took off 20%, only 10% of it will be Maaser. So since you can do that and articulate it in a way that it's possible to have it, so too, when you do it simultaneously, we interpret your statement as if you said that 50% of this is going to be Maaser. So since you can do it in a sequential manner and create 50% of it being Maaser, so too when you do it simultaneously, we're going to interpret your statement to be something of meaning. And therefore, when you separated 20% and you want it to be Maaser Rishon, we're going to just assume that 50% of it is Maaser Rishon. But since in this case, you intended for the Maaser Rishon only to be on that which you left behind, the other 50% of that which you separated out is now Tevel, because you had never had in mind that the Maaser Rishon that you're separating should cover that which you separated along with the Maaser Rishon. So even though we're successful at creating 50% of it to be Maaser Rishon, the other 50% were unsuccessful at making it into Chulin, because that's not what you had in mind, and therefore it remains Tevel. And the Ritva takes it one step further with regards to Rashi, and this is that even when he does it sequentially, and he doesn't articulate the fact that he wants only 50% of it to be Maaser Rishon, nevertheless, we assume that's what he wanted. Since he made a mistake and took off 20% instead of 10%, we just assume that in that 20%, only 50% of it became Maaser Rishon. And since if by mistake you did that, we still interpret it as being successful when you do it sequentially, since there is such a manifestation, when he does it simultaneously, it also takes effect. And the Re explains it more simply, like we did originally, which is just that since you can do this on a sequential basis, which you can take off one sa'ah and say 50% of it is Maaser Rishon, take off a second sa'ah and say 50% of it is Maaser Rishon, so do when you separate out two sa'ah simultaneously, 50% of it will become Maaser Rishon, and the other 50% will be problematic and will remain Tevel. And that's distinct from what happens here by the Eruv, where you can't have that application, because you can't say that under the tree, if it has eight amot, that every half amah or every piece has half of it that is Eruv and the other half is not, because in accordance with greater Shvitah, you need four amot that are together in a single location. And either it has to be one location or the other location. You can't intermingle the locations. And therefore, we don't know which of those two four amot locations are his Shvitah. And because he can't do it sequentially, he can't do it simultaneously. So in that way, it does not undermine the position of Rabbah. So now Gemara says, Vare Maaser Behemah. Wait a minute. So let's move on to Maaser Behemah, Deleta Lechatzayin. It does not have the same ability like Maaser Rishon, where you can say that 50% of any item is Kadosh, because here we're speaking about whole animals. Maaser Behemah, every tenth animal is kadosh. And it's only a whole animal that's kadosh. You can't say that half an animal becomes kadosh. And so here, it's only whole items. So there's no chatzayin. And yet, we have a position, whether the gear says Amar Rabba or based on the Gemara Kedushin, it's Amar Rova, Yetzu Shnayim Basiri. If two walk out as the tenth, Bikaran Asiri, and you called both of them the tenth, Asiri Ve'chadasar Muravim Zebezeh. Then the 10th and 11th are mixed up together. And now he is left with two animals, one of which is Maiser Beima, and the other one which is considered a Shlamim. And as Rashi points out over here, the difference between a Shlamim and Maiser Beima is, you have to do Smicha on a Shlamim, you have to bring Nisachim, libations with it, and Tnufah Chazev Shok, and you have to do a wave offering with the chest and the right hind leg before it goes on the Mizbeach. V'niftim imuman. And if it gets a mum in it, you can redeem it. U'tmuratan kreva. If you make tmurat of a shlamim, it goes on the mizbeach. Mashen came by maser. None of those items are required by maser. And so as Rashi points out over here, because of that, we're going to make them both a safek in terms of whether it's maser beima or shlamim. And that means that you're going to do smicha and nisachim and tnufat chazev v'shok on both of them. Now Rashi points out that with the nisachim you can buy one libation and say al tnai it belongs to whichever one is the shlamim, but you have to do smicha and tnufat chazev v'shok on both of them. And Rashi says because it's a safek, obviously you can't make a bracha on the smicha or on the tnufat chazev v'shok because you don't know which one is the one that is the shlamim and which one is the maaser beima. Tosafot points out that Rashi was Megi on his Perush, some that we don't have here, that whatever he said here doesn't work because there actually are different korbanot when it comes to the matnot dam. Maaser Beima requires only a single matnot dam on the Mizbeach, whereas a Shlamim requires Shtayim Shein Arba. And since they have different matnot dam, you can't bring them both as a Safek Shlamim because you can't do the same matnot dam for both of them. Therefore, you have to wait for both of them to get a mum in them. And then once they both get a mum in them, you redeem the more expensive of them and say that whichever of these two is shlamim is now nifdeit on the money because it could be the more expensive or the less expensive one, so you have to take the higher price and that will become the monies will then have kedushat shlamim and you'll purchase a shlamim with it. And then the two animals will be eaten by the balim b'torat maser, which means that you have the certain restrictions, as we learned back in Bechorot, as to how exactly you can eat it and how you can sell it or what you can do with the basar. The Gemara's question is, there where they came out simultaneously and you called them asiri, one of them becomes maaser beima and the other one becomes a shlamim, and now they're mixed together. Had they come out sequentially, that would not be the case. Had it come out one number 10 and you called it 10, it would be Maaser Beima. And then number 11 comes out and you call it 10, it doesn't make a difference. Since number 10 is already 10, then you can't make number 11 into 10. So number 10 would be Maaser Beima, and number 11 would be Chulin. So there in a case where you do it sequentially, it was one Maaser Beima and one animal of Chulin. Yet here, when they come out simultaneously, one becomes the Maaser Beima and one becomes a Shlamim. So how come something that can't happen when they do it sequentially is possible when it happens simultaneously? Now, Tosafot over here points out, and even though according to Rashi, the question would still stand even if you could make them half, because it would be that the 10th one is half Maaser and the 11th one is half Maaser and the remainder is Chulin, you'd still have a problem because that's not what's said here by Rav or Rabba, which is that number 10 is Maaser and number 11 is Shlamim. So all Tosafot says is, yes, you wouldn't be able to ask the question we're asking now, but you could ask a different question about it. Although the way that the reread it, just like you can say 50% of the first sa'ah is Maaser Rishon, the second sa'ah 50% is Maaser Rishon. So too, when you do it simultaneously, it works. So too over here, when you have the two animals come out together, 50% of them, meaning one of the two animals becomes Maaser Rishon, and the other one would be Shlamim. And that would work fine according to his explanation. That's why the Gemara says, well, here where Chatzayim doesn't work, can't make half an animal Maaser and the other half an animal Maaser. Therefore, when you do it together, you can't have one of them be and one of them not be. Therefore, how does it work in this case? So the Gemara answer is, Shaini Maaser Beima, Deita Bezech Hazeh B'Taut. You can have it be sequentially when there is a mistake that is made. And that is when you're okay, when you undermine the 10th one from being the 10th, then you can have other items become the 10th. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Bechorot, Karalit Shi'i Asiri. He called number 9 the 10th, Ula Asiri Shi'i, and then he called number 10, 9, Ula Chadasar Asiri, and then he called number 11, 10, Shloshtan Mikudashim. All three of them become Kadosh. 9th and 11th will be forms of Shlamim, and number 10 will be Maaser Beima. So here you see that you have the possibility of creating such a situation where number 10 is Meiser Beima and number 11 is a Shlamim. Now it is in a case where you make a mistake and you undermine the 10th from being the 10th because you called it the 9th. That's the only reason that why number 11, when you call it 10, has any Kedusha is because you didn't correctly call number 10 10. Nevertheless, since it works bitaot and it can happen sequentially by mistake, so too when you do it simultaneously, it will take effect. And that's what we noted before, the Ritva said in Rashi, just like before, when you made a mistake, we still assume that you only were implying 50% would be maser, so therefore when you do it simultaneously, it takes effect as well. That's because if you can do it by mistake, you can also do it then simultaneously. As long as there's some manifestation of it, then when you do it simultaneously, it could also be manifest, and that's what happens here. So there's a case where you can make a mistake and make number 10 into Meiser Beima and number 11 into a Shlamim. So do when you do it simultaneously, that will be the impact as well. Tosfos points out over here that Rabba has to believe that Efshar Litzamtzem. Things can't be very exact, because otherwise you could explain why it happens over here. It's because two animals walked out. One of them went out before the other, and it's Efshar Litzamtzem. It's impossible that they came out exactly at the same time. And then you said Asiri, you called it the 10th. Now the 10th automatically became number 10, and the 11th you called number 10. And so that's why maybe both of them are kadosh in this case, because you didn't call number 10 10 and happened by itself, and you called number 11 10, and that's what made it into something that is kadosh. And that's maybe why the case over here works. Nothing to do with simultaneous, because it doesn't happen simultaneously. And so Tosafot says that's not the case. Rabba must believe that you can have things happen exactly at the same time. And that's why there's a question over here, because it's happening exactly simultaneously, and you're calling both of them Asiri at the same time. And by doing such, you are now creating one Asiri and one Shlamim, despite the fact that if you did it sequentially, that would not be the case. And Tosafot says that I'll prove that to you, because had it been that you could not be exact, or they could not come out exactly at the same time, then one of them should be Masiri. The other one should be Chulin. Why should the other one be a Shlamim? Although then Tosafot speculates that maybe even if they didn't come out exactly at the same time, since you couldn't discern and you called both of them the 10th, and one of them happened by itself to be the 10th, and the other one you called the 10th, maybe in that situation we would say one is Kadosh b'Meiser Beima, and the other one is Kadosh b'Shlamim, because you called both of them the 10th, and as far as you're concerned, you couldn't discern which one was first. Although Tosafot heavily favors his first explanation, which is that it's a case where Efshar Litzamtzem, they both could exit simultaneously, and that's the problem over here, which is that when you create both of them Asiri at the same time, one of them becomes the Meiser Beima, one becomes the Shlamim. Had you done that sequentially, one of them would be Meiser Beima, the second one would have been Chulin. Now the Gemara continues with another question. Vari todah, a korban todah, deleta b'taut, it doesn't work by mistake, deleta b'zeh achar zeh, and it doesn't work sequentially. Doesn't work by mistake because a korban todah is a modified shlamim. It's a shlamim that comes with 40 types of breads along with it. And the shchitat ha-zevach, the shechtan ha-zevach, is mikadesh, the 40 loaves of bread that come along with it. So now, if a person made a mistake, and he was mafrish lachmei todah, and then after the words, he then forgot that he was mafrish the 40 lechamim for it, and he was mafrish another set of 40 afterwards. And then he shechs the zevach. Only the first 40 become kadosh. The latter 40 do not become kadosh, because we have a principle that hekdesh ta'ot lo shma hekdesh. When you mafrish something to be hekdesh, when it's by mistake, it doesn't take effect. And so too over here. When he separated the second 40 loaves, it was a mistake, because he thought he didn't have the first 40. As soon as he finds out he has the first 40, the second 40 aren't relevant. And so it's not like the case of Meiser Beima, where you can make a mistake and have it be manifest, because if you make a mistake, it doesn't work. And it doesn't work b'zeh hazeh, which is that if you shech the korban todah on 40 chalot, and then you bring an additional 40 chalot and separate them out, they're not mikudash, because he already shechted the animal, and the first 40 are kadosh, the second 40 have no impact. So you can't do it sequentially, and you can't do it by mistake. Yet, if you do it simultaneously, and you bring 80 loaves of bread in one shot, and then you're shechting the animal, Chizkiah says over here that you are successful at being mekadesh at least 40 out of the 80. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here. Despite the fact that there's no manifestation b'taut, there's no manifestation b'zeh chazeh, v'itmar, and yet we have a machloket amoraim, todah shenishchata shmonim chalot, you have a todah that you shechted with 80 loaves, and you only needed 40, Chizki amar kidshu Allah mem mitoch shmonim, 40 out of those 80 are kadosh, Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kidshu Allah mem mitoch shmonim. Biogun says it fails, because since you can't do it sequentially, you can't do 40 and 40, so you also can't do 80 at once. Which seems to be like the position of Rabba, which is that if you can't do it sequentially, you can't do it simultaneously. The problem is that the halacha is like Chizkiya. If the halacha is like Chizkiya, you see you can separate 40 mitoch shmonim, and they are kadosh. And hayit marla. And on that, we have a qualification, which will then help us to solve the problem, which is Amar Rabbi Zeira, or in the Gemara in Kiddushin is Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, Hechad Amar Likadshu Arbeim Mitoch Shmonim, if you articulate that you want 40 out of the 80 to be Kadosh, the Kadshe, it works. Lo Yikadshu Arbaim Elim Kein Kadshe Shmonim, if you say that I only want 40 to be Kadosh, if all 80 of them are Kadosh, then everybody agrees, Kol Amar Lo Plige De Lo Kadshu. Everybody agrees that it doesn't work because you can't make 80 Kadosh. So if you say I want 40 out of the 80 to be Kadosh, works according to everyone. If you say that I want 80 to work no matter what, then it doesn't work. Ki plige bistama. The argument is when you don't articulate what you want to happen. Mar sarad achrayut kamikabein. Chizkiya believes you really intend it to be a backup. You really want 40 to be Kadosh, and you just have the other 40 as a backup. And therefore, 40 of them are successful become Kadosh, because al tanai aitaniu. He's bringing the 80 with basically a built-in condition, even though he never articulated it, that he wants 40 to be the Kadosh ones. And if he loses those 40, the other 40 will be Kadosh. But he never intends for all 80 of them to be Kadosh. Umar Saba, Rabbi Yochanan thinks when he brings 80 and doesn't articulate anything, the Korban Gadol kamikavein. Then he intends for a very large Korban, and it's unsuccessful. It's the equivalent of him saying, I want all 80 of these to be Kadosh, which we saw before. Everybody agrees that it doesn't work. So the question is, when he doesn't articulate it, what is meant by that? When he doesn't articulate it, does he mean 40 out of 80 because it's really on condition that he's bringing them? When he doesn't articulate it, when he says 40 out of 80, means I really want all 80 to work, and we already said that that doesn't work. But what you see from this is that when you articulate 40 out of 80, it does work. And that is the Shita of Chizkiya. When does it work? When you have 40 out of 80 and you specify the 40 out of 80. And Rabba said the same thing as we saw before, the Nafka Mina between the first and second reason was that when you said I want 4 out of the 8 Amot to be the Shvita, then even Rabba agreed over there that it works because it would work Bezecha Zeh. And therefore, here you designated 4 out of the 8, which is possible to create a Shemitah. Now, if you need a Mesaime, if you need a place to be delineated particularly, that didn't work. But as far as Rabba's position with regards to Kol Sheinu Bezech Zeh, Afilu Bevachate, no, that's not relevant because here you specified 40 out of the 80, and then it's exactly like the case before where we said if you specified 4 out of the 8, it would work. And therefore, it's not a question on his position. The Baal Yatosafot do ask over here that why does Rabbi Yochanan have to say the Korban Gadol Kamikavein? Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion throughout Shas that ain breira. You can't determine something after the fact. And here, if you bring all 80, and then 40 out of the 80 are going to be kadosh, but let him say the problem is here that you didn't designate which 40 out of the 80 would be kadosh. And therefore, it's a problem of breira, and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a breira, and that's what the failure is over here. The reason suggests that the issue of breira is not relevant over here, because you don't need to know which of the 40 are the loaves for the todah. You just need to know that there are 40 loaves of the Todah. In other places, we need to know exactly what belongs to whom. Then over there, we say, Ein Breira. Whereas over here, where we don't need to know in particular which 40 belong to the Korban, you just have them all mixed together. Now, the truth is, if you keep them separate, the 240 separate, it'll be easy to deal with, because then you could just be mafrish 4 from each one of them to give to the Kohen. If all 80 of them are mixed together, then it becomes much more complex. As the Tosafot says, you have to take 11 of each type and give it to the Kohen, because 10 of them will be chulin, and one for sure then will be the truma that you have to give to the Kohen. But nevertheless, breira is not relevant over here, and therefore the reasoning for Rabbi Yochanan is because he intended for a large korban, which he's unable to do in this case. Amar Abaye, so now we move on to another topic, which is this idea that the tree is lo misaime. That we said when you pick 4 amot under the tree, that it's not delineated, and therefore according to Rav, in the first reasoning of Rabba, you can't have shvita there, it's as if you have no shvita. So Abaye says that's only true, bi'ilan shetachtav yubayt ama. If you have a tree that is 12 amot wide, meaning the span of the tree, the trunk, and the boughs of the tree, the branches and the leaves extend over 12 amot, then it's true. But if you have a tree by which there's less than 12 amot in that span, then we know for sure where part of his Shemitah is. That is because if you divide the tree into three areas, you have the four amot that are to the north, the four amot that are to the south, and the four amot that are in the middle. If it's less than 12, there's overlap between the middle four amot and the southern four amot, and there's also an overlap between the middle four amot and the northern four amot. So that means if we assume that his Shemitah is in the middle four amot, for sure in that you have captured the fact that part of his four amot are there. Because no matter where he meant on the tree, at least a part of that Shemitah is included in the middle four amot. And so therefore, in that case, it would be a good Shemitah even according to Rav. So Matila Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua Mimai. How do you know that? How do you know that he intended for the middle four amot? Dilmar Ba'arba Da'ai Gisa or Ba'arba Da'ai Gisa Kamisayim. Maybe he meant the four on this side, four on the other side. And how do you know to pick the middle four amot? And so what Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua says is, how do you know where to set up your four amot? To get it that Mimonov Shach, you've captured a part of his Shemitah. And therefore he says, it's only true if you have a tree that is 8 amot wide. Because in that case, you don't have any overlap between the two sides of the tree. If you have 4 amot to the south, 4 amot to the north, and they will never overlap. But in a case where the tree has 7 amot, really means less than 8 amot under it, hey, mitzvah beitoni kar, for sure, then no matter where you put his Shemitah, you're going to capture an overlap. And so what the difference between Abaye's position and Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua's position is, do we make an assumption about where his Shemitah can be? According to Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, we don't allow you to make any assumptions about where the Shemitah is, and therefore it has to be that no matter where we pick his Shemitah, that you've captured some other part of his Shemitah. And that less than 7 amot span of a tree, then no matter where you pick his 4 amot, it's going to overlap with the part that would have been his Shemitah. Whether you pick the middle 4, the southern 4, or the northern 4, no matter which one you pick, you're going to have overlap in the Shemitah that he picked, and in that case, it will be a good Shemitah. It's as if Misayme, he designated or delineated the location. On the other hand, if it's 12 amot wide, then you have to make an assumption about where he had his Shemitah to capture all of them. You have to say, oh, we assign him the middle. And by assigning him the middle, then we capture both the north, the south, and the middle. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, we don't do that. We don't make an assumption about where that Shemitah is in order to capture it. So it has to be mukhrach. It has to be inevitable that no matter where you pick your Shemitah, you overlap an area that could have been a Shemitah. So that only works when you have a tree span that is less than 8 amot. Then Abaye believes we assign him a Shemitah that can capture no matter what the place where his Shemitah was. So if we assign him the middle 4 amot, it could have been the middle 4, could have been the southern 4 or the northern 4. But no matter which one of those three it was, he still has a portion of it captured by the middle that we assigned to him. And so therefore we assign him a place where it will capture all of them. And by definition then, he's overlapped with at least an area that could have been his Shemitah. And that's enough to make it a Shemitah for him. Now the Gemara brings a Braita, Tanya Kavote de Rav. We have a Braita that supports Rav's position, the Tanya Kavote de Shmuel, and we have a Braita that supports Shmuel's position, Tanya Kavote de Rav. We have a Braita that supports Rav's position, Misha Baba Derech, V'chash Chalo. Someone is traveling home, and it is sunset. Vayamakir Ilan Ogader. He recognizes a tree or some fence. V'amar Shvitati Tachtav. And he says, my Shvitah is over there. Lo amar klum. He did not say anything. He was not successful at creating a Shemitah. Because, as we know from what Rav said before, either because lo misaymeh, it wasn't a defined location, or because it wasn't a defined location, what you can't do b'zechazeh, you can't do b'vat achat, and therefore it fails. Aval, im amar shvitati b'makom ploni, if he says that my Shemitah will be in such and such a place, ma'alei chad shemegia lo oto makom, he's allowed to go to that location, higia lo oto makom, and if he gets that location, he can travel the entire distance of that location and 2,000 amot beyond it. Now the Bright is going to explain, when exactly is that true? He just said before, if you don't delineate the specific location, then it can't act as a Shemitah for you. Over here, you're saying, I'm going to get to that place, and we say that it's not only a good Shemitah, that whole area is considered like Da'at Amot. And that's because it is B'makom Misuyam. It's a delineated location, Kigon. For instance, he said, Shavat Betel Shugvoa Yutfachim, Veho Midalat Amot Vat Beit Satayim. It's a case where you have some sort of elevated area that is more than 10 Tfachim high all around it, and it has a span of at least Dalat Amot all the way up to a Beit Satayim. And that is because now it has mechitzot around it. And we know an area that has mechitzot around it is classified as if it is da'ot amot for Shvitah or for Tchumin. And given that, no matter where you said on that tell, on that elevated location, that you wanted Shvitah, it's as if you were misaimei. It's as if you defined the location, because the whole location is considered to be da'ot amot. And so no matter where you said, you're good. That's as long as the area does not exceed Beit Satayim. That is because up to a Beit Satayim, we consider something to be mukaf mechitzot, to be as if it is da'ot amot. Once it exceeds Beit Satayim, we said only if it's mukaf ledira is it considered like da'ot amot. But if it's not mukaf for residents, then it loses its status as da'ot amot. Those are the limitations that are placed here. It has to be from da'ot amot until Beit Satayim. You need da'ot amot because that's the minimum space for classified as being a shvita. And so that you need either the minimum of da'ot amot into a maximum of Beit Satayim, that is a delineated place. And similarly, in a depression or an area, shi'amuka yud, that is at least 10 tfachim depressed or down, v'himi da'ot amot v'at Beit Satayim. And similarly, if it's from 4 amot until Beit Satayim, since it's a makom misuyam, then the whole area is considered like 4 amot. And therefore, number one, when you designate it as your eruv or your shvita, it works because it's a makom misuyam. But not only that, the whole area is classified as 4 amot, and therefore when you walk there, you can walk 2,000 amot from any edge of that area to the north from the furthest northern edge, and from the south to the furthest southern edge, because the whole area itself is classified as 4 amot. Aval b'makom she'en misuyam, but in a place where he doesn't have a delineated place, in lo'ela da'ot amot, then he only has 4 amot, meaning that if he delineates the place, then he only has da'ot amot from the places to shvita, and then 2,000 amot beyond those da'ot amot that are classified as makom shvita. He doesn't gain this extra wider area that is classified as da'ot amot, and therefore has a much greater tchum, because the middle area where shvita is classified as da'ot amot. But here, just wherever he is da'ot amot. And again here, as the Bright is going to say in a second, that's only if he knows or delineates exactly the location where he's going to be. If he doesn't delineate it, we know from Rav, and the Bright is going to say this, then he gets nothing. If you have two people walking along, this is a part of the Bright that we'll deal with in tomorrow's daf, which is that if you have two people walking together, one of them knows a delineated location or specific location further on, the other one doesn't. Zesheinu makir moser shvita lemakir. Then the one who doesn't know says or grants the right of shlichut to the other party who does know a delineated location. And then the one who knows that delineated or specific location will say that our shvita is over there, or my shvita is there, but he's also acting on behalf of the other party. But as we said before, when is all this true? If he delineated a specific location and defined where the shvita is going to be, he delineated or specified the exact 4 amot where he's going to have his shvita. Velo siyem, if he did not delineate da'ot amot shekava, those da'ot amot that are going to be his, lo yezuz mimkomo, he can't move from his location. And this is what Rashi says is supportive of Rav's contention in his explanation of the Mishnah, which is that you can't move from your location. You forfeited your shvita where you are, and you were not successful in making your shvita where you wanted to go because you didn't define it as an exact 4 amot. And since you didn't define your shvita there and you forfeited your shvita here, you have no shvita. And therefore, lo yezuz mimkomo, you can't move from where you are. You're stuck. You have actually no shvita whatsoever. And that's exactly like Rav in the Mishnah. Well, the truth is that from the opening of the Braita, it also is supportive of Rav's contention, because when it says in the beginning of the Braita, over there, because he was not nisayim, that introduction also is similar to Rav's position. If you don't delineate the exact location of the 4 amot, you aren't successful at creating shvita. The second half of the Braita is a little more explicit about what are the implications of that, and that is that lo yezuz mimkomo, and therefore it's much more supportive of Rav's contention. So leima tavi tiyufte de Shmuel. Let's say this Braita that's supportive of Rav is a strong refutation of Shmuel's position. So Amar Lecha Shmuel, Shmuel can answer or explain the Braita in the following way. What are we dealing with over here? That from wherever he is now until the trunk of the tree is 2,000 amot plus another 4. I mean, the 4 amot from where you are plus another 2,000 amot. If you establish a shvita on the other side of the tree, Kamlai the bar mitchuma, he's outside of his tchum. So now, what Shmuel is saying, and remember what Shmuel said on the Mishnah. Shmuel said on the Mishnah that you are successful at creating a Shvita under the tree. We just don't know where your Shvita is under the tree. Therefore, we're going to be machmir on you that you can't go from the tree to the north except from the southern side of the tree. And if you want to go to the south, you can only go from the furthest northern point of the tree, 4 amot plus another 2,000 amot, because we're going to take away the tree's area from your ability to move, because we don't know where under the tree you had the Shvita. So in this case, wherever you're located to the tree is 2,000 amot. But there's a part of the tree that goes beyond the 2,000 amot. So now at this point, if we don't know which 4 amot you picked, we have a problem. Because if the 4 amot that you picked are on the part that's outside of the tchum, then you don't have a eruv that's reachable by you when the sun sets. You're beyond, you're outside the tchum of your eruv. Whereas if the entire tree is subsumed in the 2,000 amot from where you are, it's really 2,000 amot plus 4 because you get 4 amot. So 2004 amot from where you are, the entire tree is subsumed in that, then you are successful. And that's exactly what Rav Shmuel is going to say about this braita, that that's the situation. If it's a case that is outside of the tchum of where you are now, then you can't have a shvita. Isiyim, dalet amot matze azil. Then he can go. Meaning that if the entire tree is subsumed under your 2004 amot, and you have a shvita there. Below, lo matza azil. But if your 2004 amot end before the end of the tree, then we don't know where your shvita is, and your shvita might be outside of your tchum. Rabbeinu Chananel says that lo yazuz mimkamo, he has the same din as Rab, which is you were unsuccessful creating a shvita under the tree. You're unsuccessful at creating a shvita where you are. And therefore lo yazuz mimkamo, and Shmuel would hold like Rab in this situation. And therefore you have dalet amot from where you are, because you forfeited both shvitot. As Rashi believes that you are successful at creating the Shvita still under the tree, but there's a possibility that you're outside the Tchum. Since you're outside the Tchum, you get 4 Amot, like anybody else who would leave the Tchum, but you are successful getting a Shvita. But in that way, Shmuel can explain the Braita without it being a question on his position, because he's just saying that the situation in the Braita is a case where the tree is beyond the 2,000 Amot, and that's what we noted before in the Mishnah, that Shmuel believes that all this is true, that you're successful getting the Shvita by the tree, even if you don't delineate the 4 amot, as long as the entire tree is subsumed in the 2,000 amot from where you are currently, or 2,004 amot from where you are currently. Tanya Kavate to Shmuel, we have a braita that's supportive of Shmuel's position. Ta'avi Rav L'shtei Ruchot. Person made a mistake and put an Eruv in two different directions. K'midumahu, because he thought, Shema'arvim lo shtei Ruchot, that you have the capacity to put an Eruv in two directions. He thought for half a Shabbat it'll be in this direction, the other half a Shabbat it'll be in the other direction. Osho amar la'avadav, tzu ve'arvuli. Or he said to his servants, go put out an Eruv for me. Echad yirev lo alav l'tzafon, echad yirev alav l'drom. And one of them went to the north, and the other one went to the south. So in that case, malech l'tzafon k'eruvo l'drom, u'l'drom k'eruvo l'tzafon. He is then locked into the overlap between the two Eruvin. Whether he did it himself, or whether the Abadim put it down, he's locked into the overlap between the two Eruvim. Vim mitzu alav, et tchum lo yazuz mimkamo. If it's a situation where each one of them went 2,000 amot from the 4 amot where he's located from his house, one went to the north, 2001, and the other went 2,000 amot to the other side, then he's stuck in his house and he can't go anywhere. Because if he tries to go to the north, the southern Eruv is anchoring him, and if he tries to go to the south, the northern Eruv is anchoring him and he can't move at all. So Rashi suggests over here that the question of Rav is from the beginning of the Braita, which says that he gets the overlap between the two Eruvin. Because according to Rav, when you put out two Eruvin, since you didn't define your Shvita, you're unsuccessful grading Shvita anywhere, and lo yuzuzmim come out, you wouldn't be able to move at all. And that's what the question is. The Ritva says that that's not really a question on Rav, because, as the Ritva suggested earlier, if a person's in their house and they're trying to create an Eruv outside of their house, if they fail to create the Eruv out of their house, then their house becomes their Eruv. So even according to Rav, who says that neither of the Eruvin are successful at being created, the person still gets 2,000 amot from his house, because a person will not forfeit their house unless they for certain create an Eruv that is successful outside of their house. So because of that, he says that that's not the question on Rav. Both the Reish and the Sefer are a question, because according to Rav, why is he stuck in his house? Neither of those Eruvin should have been successful, and therefore you never forfeited your house, and he should be, say, K'bnei Yiro, should have the ability to move 2,000 amot from his house, according to Rav. But the other hand, Shmuel says that when we have a safek as to where exactly you placed your Eruv, we assume that you placed the Eruv, we just don't know which one it is. So just like by the tree, we assume you put the Eruv down, we just don't know where under the tree it is, and therefore we're machmir on you to say that it's on the opposite direction you're going, where you say the Eruv's there and it cuts down on your ability to walk. So too over here, where we don't know which of the two Eruvin you really wanted. Nevertheless, they both take effect. The Chumrah, those mutually exclusive Eruvin, just compete. And we assume that they are binding you to be in a single location. Whereas for Rav, who says that when you're not defining the location of the Eruv, it's nothing, then you shouldn't be able to move from your house at all. Because you didn't want to be Koneh in your house. And you didn't, one Eruv on one side or the other side are not good Eruvin, because they were not defined which one you wanted. Never you have no Eruv and no Shvita whatsoever, and lo yuzuz mim komo. Because according to the Ritva, your house remains your location unless you uproot it, and therefore only a problem for Rav, which is that, why in that situation are you locked down, lo yuzuz mim komo? You should be like the Bnei Ha'ir. You should be like the rest of the city, because you never forfeited your house from being the Eruv that's there. Now Tosafot back on the Mishnah asks, why isn't this position of Shmuel problematic for Rabbah, who says that kol she'eino b'zeh hazeh eino b'vat achat? Over here, you're placing down two Eruvin. If you put one down first and then the other one afterwards, the second Eruv would have no bearing. You can't have them go b'zeh hazeh. Then why should it work b'vat achat and lock you in that both Eruvin take place? From that, Tosafot speculates that maybe Shmuel doesn't hold of Rabbah's position. As we noted before, we don't want to say that because we find in other places where Rabbah's position is the halacha, and on top of that, we find that Shmuel invokes this principle in other positions. And therefore, Tosafot suggests that over here it's different because Tchol Amarei B'Shtei Ruchot Ka'achat Misupaku B'Libo. A person who puts down two Eruvin, one on each side, doesn't know what he wants to do. B'Da'ato, his idea is that if both of them can't be successful, then one of them will be successful. So therefore, he has a built-in tenai in his head that I want the both of the Eruvin to work. But if both of them don't work, then at least one of them should work. But then we don't know which is the one that works. And because we don't know which one, that's what binds you or locks you in between the two Eruvin, the Chumrah. But it still will not be a problem for Rabbah, because it's not that both Eruvin take effect. It's that one of the two Eruvin take effect. We just don't know which of the two that are taking effect. Lema tavi tuv to the Rav. This brayta should be a problem for Rav. It should refute Rav's position. But his answer is Rav Tana Upoli. Rav is a Tana and can argue on this brayta. Rav's given the status of a Tana, at least vis-a-vis brayta to many places. And therefore, since he's on the cusp between the Tanaim and Amoraim, Rav is a Talmud of Rabbi. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Chia, both of whom are considered Tanaim. And Rav, who in general is considered to be Amora, because Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan argue on him, sometimes is given a status of a Tana to argue on Brito. Although the Gemara usually invokes that when Rav is in a difficult position, that usually means that the Locha is not like Rav. So there's actually a dispute amongst the Rishonim at a Paskin here. For instance, the Ravid Paskin is like Rav, because whenever we have a Machlok, Rav and Shmuel be Surei, Halacha Karav be Surei. And even though there is a Breita that supports Shmuel's position, we also have a Breita that supports Rav's position. And the Ravid brings proof, the fact that Abaye, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, and Rabba all discuss Rav's position and explain Rav's position, which makes it sound like Rav is the halacha. On the other hand, the Rif, the Balamor, the Rambam, and the Ritva himself thinks that this is the halacha, that we paskin like Shmuel in this case, because the Breita supports his position, and Rav doesn't have a strong refutation of that Breita, and he has to be Rav Tanu Poliku, which is a weak answer. Yet Shmuel does have the ability to answer the Breita of Rav, which is what's interesting over here. Why did the Gemara have to say Rav Tanu Poliku? Rav has a Breita that supports him, and he can just say, I have a Tana that's my position, and yes, it is a Machloket Tanaim, and I hold like that Tana. Does it have to be Rav himself be the Tana that argues on this Breita? Although it must be that the Gemara then believes that Shmuel's explanation of the Breita before is very viable. If that's the case, then Rav doesn't necessarily have a Tana that supports him. And when we bring a Breita that supports Shmuel's position, Rav is going to have to argue on that. And that means that we have to invoke this principle of Rav Tanahu Upalik. And that is a weak answer, because Rav can't really explain the Breita. In addition, if we believe that the din of Halakha Divrei Mekil Be'eruv doesn't just apply to Tanaim, but also to Amoraim, then also that would favor Shmuel's position over here, because Shmuel is the Hakel, and like Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Halacha Kedivrei Mekil Be'eruv, all of those would favor saying that the Halacha is like Shmuel, and that's what Tosafot says on the Mishnah, that the Halacha is like Shmuel, and the fact that they use that difficult answer shows you that the Halacha is like Shmuel in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Nun, Amud Bet.